This one's been a long time coming. Sorry about that. The holidays have kind of thrown everything on a loop, but or off the grid or off the loop or however you want to say it. I just thought I would do a quick recording on Conjuration 2017. Yes, it was last year. It's November 3rd through the 5th here in Atlanta. I'd like to talk a little bit, I guess, about the volunteer experience. I had never volunteered for a convention before. And, you know, I've seen Conjuration advertised a little bit here and there in some of the stores that I go to. And I was curious, but didn't really have the money to pay for a ticket. So I decided to volunteer. And I have to say, it was a really, really great experience. The people there make you feel like family. You know, they give you direction, they let you know what's going on, how you can help out, stuff like that. I had a really good time. I really want to volunteer at more smaller conventions. I don't think I'm quite ready for volunteering at a Dragon Con or something of that scale. But, you know, I'm volunteering here in February with Anachrocon 2018. So that should be interesting. It's a steampunk convention. But, Conjuration's great. For anyone who doesn't know, it's a convention focused on fandoms that use magic. It's originally a Harry Potter based convention, I believe. I know all the volunteer shirts had House Elf on them, which is kind of a cute name, but it's kind of enveloped anything magical. Like there's stuff from Supernatural there, you know, book series, things having to do with snakes, because, you know, Slytherin House is snakes, magicians, TV show panels, writing panels, writing workshops, things like that. It's really fun. I recommend everyone go. I do believe it's also a nonprofit. I think this past year, all of the conventions actually benefit children's literacy programs, is my understanding. So, you know, you're helping kids learn how to read also. So that's, you know, good effort, good thing to do. Some of the panels that I went to, one of them was Elves, Dwarves, and Kunari Omai. It focused on Dragon Age races. Heard of it. It's a kind of fairly large video game franchise. I don't know why you wouldn't have heard of it. They basically just did a cross-section of all of the races in Dragon Age, which I was already familiar with them, so, you know, I gave it a shot. They're a new panelists, so, you know, I stayed and filled out the survey. It's always good to do those at smaller conventions. It really gives the convention feedback on how the panel worked out. I think they share some of that with the panelists. They can see things they may need to tweak in the future. But overall, the presenters knew their stuff really well. You could tell that they were fans of the game, so that made it that much more interesting to listen to. I also sat in on a panel called Lord of the Rings Appendices, where they just went through the minutiae and, I guess, esoterica of the Tolkien worlds, and I knew that there was a lot out there, but I had no idea that it could go this in depth. Maybe that's naivety on my part, but the presenters obviously knew a lot about what they were talking about. The kind of structure of the panel is more of like a lecture where they were just kind of going through the history. So it was really interesting to hear a panel where someone was giving a history lecture on a fake world. Really interesting. Learned some cool things about where he drew some of the inspiration for some of those the works from. Obviously, you have the Vikings and Norse mythology and stuff like that, but a lot of stuff in there from kind of, I guess, Saxon or Gaelic and Gallic mythologies and cosmology. So that was really, really cool. My wife joined me on the Saturday evening. It was kind of a dance. It was the Swingin' Soiree Yule Ball, where they had different bands performing. I don't know quite what you would call it if they're a band that is themed after a franchise. They're not a cover band. It's not a tribute band. I guess maybe it's not filking either. Just really interesting is a band that was cosplaying as the different houses of Gryffindor. They had kind of the songbird aesthetic to it. And most of the bands performing that we saw, because we didn't stay for the entire thing, but most of the things that we saw all had that 1920s jitterbug Charleston type feel to the music. So it was interesting. A little bit later that night, I went to the, or maybe it was the next day, I went to the Georgia Reptile Society showcase. I didn't realize that I was as much of a reptile person as I am. The presenters brought out these gigantic iguanas and snakes and things like that. You could touch them if you wanted. They advised people against touching certain types, just because it was either new. I guess I knew you could abuse snakes and reptiles, but I never really thought about there being a reptile rescue, which it's really sad that someone would abuse any animal, but it's really strange that that's one of the types that gets abused. But you know, they're not cuddly and I guess as affectionate as other animals, so they kind of, I guess, miss out on some of the other attention that other groups might pay to animals of that nature. Let's see, what else did I do? Sat in on a panel, well, not as a moderator or guest, obviously, just kind of fell into a panel when I had some free time on an introduction to the Wheel of Time. I'm a bad geek. I have not finished the Wheel of Time. I think the last book that I read of the series was maybe the fourth or fifth one written by Robert Jordan. I have not touched any of the Brandon Sanderson ones because honestly, I'm not a huge fan of Brandon Sanderson's writing. I've tried to read one of his books. I think it was the Mistborn series, maybe. I don't understand the draw, but you know, everyone's entitled to like their media. I mean, I guess he's an okay selection to pick up after Jordan because, well, I don't know about that. Anyway, that's beside the point. I stopped reading them mainly because I was reading them when they were coming out. And so, like, I would pick them up after my dad was done with them. And, yeah, they're so entangled and so dense that I just wanted the series to be over so I could read it from start to finish without having to backtrack and go, wait a minute, where was this character from? And then flip around. I mean, I know they have an index, but I would just prefer to intake the media all at once. So, yeah, I guess now that it's finished, I can start on that. Maybe that'll be the book club book. Let's see. What else about that? The last thing that I did was the Leaf-Shaped Ears and Other Middle-Earth Controversies panel. So this was a had the potential to be kind of a contentious panel, which I'll come back to in a second, but it was really, really well presented. It was more conversational. There was a lot of back and forth between the audience and the panel members. I got the feeling the panel members were either part of the same community, either online or maybe just a set of friends who do these panels, but because they seemed to know where each other's train of thought was going. Maybe it was just well rehearsed. But it was really interesting. The reason they have the title of the panel is that, you know, most fantasy depictions of elves have the kind of almond-shaped ear or oval-shaped ear. And it's because that's how artists rendered illustrations from Tolkien's works, because he describes the elves as having leaf-shaped ears, but he never specifies what type of leaf they have. So, or what type of leaf-shaped ear their ear is. So, I think in all future games that I run, elves are going to have maple leaf-shaped ears, because that sounds hilarious, and I want to get with someone who can actually draw an illustration of a character with maple leaf-shaped ears, because that would look weird and ridiculous, and that's the only way that I want to picture elves now. So, yeah, that's exactly what I'll do if I ever get around to making that game I've been working on for God knows how long. But the thing about the contention with panelists, if you've ever been to any sort of geek convention or sat in on a panel, I'm sure it happens at regular conventions too, but there's always, you know, that guy, TM, sitting in the crowd, who feels the need to correct the panelists, or point out, oh, well, actually, and it's the worst that I've seen at Dragon Con. Especially I've noticed with female presenters, and especially in the science and the video gaming tracks at Dragon Con, there are a lot of just, you know, dude bros who feel the need to correct people who are stated experts in what they're talking about, when they may as well have just watched the guys correcting the women may have well just watched a couple of YouTube videos and are subscribed to a subreddit. And it's really frustrating. However, at Conjuration, as far as the panels that I went to, none of that happened. And I think that's a good indication of the con, because I'm not going to say that I went to panels that were more likely to have that happen, but especially with like Tolkien, and especially I guess with Wheel of Time, I could see the potential for that being high, but that was never present there. In fact, a lot of the people running the con were female, and which is great. I mean, I think it helps the culture of the convention to change and be more accepting of everyone in that instance. And I don't know why that is, but it just seems to be the case. It's very family friendly. The Conjuration has a number of children's events. They have a Quidditch field where actually a couple of people from Oglethorpe University's Quidditch team, I believe, were running the Quidditch games out in the field that they had as part of their contract with this particular hotel. And, you know, lots of things there's an arts and crafts room for kids to make things, make their own wand, which is really interesting. Pro tip, if you want to make a wand, from what I observed when I was helping out as a house elf in this room, for a couple of sessions, the wands are basically the breakaway, chopsticks from like a Chinese restaurant that you would get, the wooden ones, and you just break them apart and you use glue for the design, and you can, you know, put glitter on it, you could paint it, whatever. You let that dry, and then the people would come back, you know, a few hours later after it's been dried, and just pick up their wand. And it was really, really cool. It's not Elmer's glue. It's like a hot glue gun, for like a vine going around the wood of the wand. And it's really interesting. So, you know, if you want to do cosplay, I'm not as big into the cosplay, so this may be a thing that some of you out there already know how to do, but I found it really fascinating. And there were actually, you know, a few adults in there doing these things, some of the arts and crafts, but a lot of the arts and crafts, it looked like were focused on smaller children, you know, making wands, doing things like that. All in all, Conjuration is really great. I definitely want to go back and volunteer this year in 2018. And, you know, maybe go to some of the panels that I had marked, but then decided against later, and you know, check out some of the other random panels that I wouldn't normally go to. It was just a really fun environment to be in. Like I said, it's family friendly, and you know, after dark there are like parties going on, but nothing got out of hand. There were never any situations that I saw where it could kind of devolve into, you know, the drunken madness that is Dragon Con. And that, you know, Dragon Con, there are certain times of certain days that, like, I feel unsafe walking through the hotel, let alone down one of the side streets. So, part of that, I think, is that, you know, Conjuration is confined to a single hotel. So, you're not having to go through the quote-unquote muggle world, and also the con world, and then also people fueled on massive amounts of alcohol. So, if you're wanting to stick your toe in the water of going to conventions, Conjuration's a great place to start. They have a 24-hour, I believe, 24-hour gaming room, where you can kind of check out board games that people have brought, and sign up for one-shot D&D and Pathfinder campaigns. Their vendor room was really interesting. They had a lot of Funko vendors. The types of vendors here were a lot of crafty type vendors. You either had the people who were selling like Harry Potter and Supernatural themed Funkos and things like that, or people selling memorabilia, autographed copies of things. You had a couple vendors that were authors selling their books, and then the majority of them were the people who, like, you know, they probably have an Etsy shop online, and so they were selling like weird hats or Harry Potter themed shirts and purses and things like that. So it's a really interesting way to get your fan stuff through a vendor and have it be put together well. And also you can, because it's something on the level of Etsy, you could reach out back to the creator, I would assume, and say, hey, this thing messed up. Can you take a look at it? A couple of the vendors there made dragon eggs from like Game of Thrones, and it's really cool. I was talking with one of the ladies there who was doing it, who was also volunteering, and she was saying that it's you can basically take a rounded item and then just put push pins over and over and over to make the scale type material that the dragon eggs have on the Game of Thrones TV show, and then paint it different colors, and it looks really cool. I kind of, you know, if we were in a house, I would have picked one up for like a paperweight or a wall decoration or something like that. But, you know, don't really have the room to pick that up, alas. And I don't really have any room on the walls left for any art. But yeah, no, I think at this point I'm probably just restating my main point, which is go to Conjuration, support Conjuration's nonprofit. They do good things with their money. They have interesting panels. I want to say that they were, someone said 2,000 or 3,000 this year. I'm not sure of the exact number, but, you know, you didn't have to really wait in a line to get into a panel, which is great. Like, that's the experience you want. You want to be able to just kind of go through the schedule and say, hey, I want to sit in on this panel. Go to it. You don't have to wait 2 hours to get in the room. That way you can maximize your time at the convention and have fun celebrating the things that you like about whatever fandom that is. So, I'm definitely going back next year. Definitely going to volunteer again because, you know, I liked all the people that I worked with. Everyone was super cool, super chill. And, yeah, it's a good environment to be in. So, that's it, I guess, for this episode of convention coverage. If you want to go to the Facebook, give us a like. I'll update things there. Give us a review on iTunes, or you could go to our Patreon, which is on, also on our Facebook, and, you know, throw some money our way if you like what we're doing. Give us feedback. Shoot us an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com. That's backrowsupershow@gmail.com. Tell us what you want to hear more of. It's always good to get feedback and find out what people are listening to your show for. So that's it for this entry. I'll be back next week. Talk to you all later. Bye.